Podcasting 2.0 for February 12th, 2021, episode 24, Value Economics. I hope I can figure out what that means.
Yeah, me too.
It is Friday once again, and even though it's cold outside, it is hot in the boardroom here for Podcasting 2.0, podcastindex.org. I'm Adam Curry in Austin, Texas. And in Alabama, the man who can calculate 100% of any value split, my friend on the other end, Dave Jones.
Yeah, cold is right. It is cold as a well digger's butt in Birmingham, Alabama. I can tell you that.
A well digger's butt. I like it. I had not heard this. This is good. Is that what you get? What y'all say down there?
Yeah, it's what we say down here.
No, actually, over there. I mean, they're expecting 7 degrees in Austin, I think, on Sunday.
Did you say seven?
Seven.
That ain't right.
Yeah?
That is not right for the South. I mean, it's, like, we've had, I think ours is supposed to be like 20, like 18 or 20 on Sunday. I mean, it was literally 70 degrees here 2 days ago.
Oh, yeah. No, we had exactly the same thing. It's bizarre, kind of.
Yeah, I don't know what the polar vortexes are getting us. I don't know what this is, but I don't like it.
Funny how we never heard about that as kids, this polar vortex business.
You know what we did hear about was the hole in the ozone layer.
Yes.
Which it seems to have magically repaired itself.
I got a lot of grief for that because there were two main sources of the devastating hole in the ozone layer. One was air conditioning. And the other was hairspray. And man, the 80s, people were mad at me.
you were at least 40% of the hole. Like, you came directly from New York, you know, around the MTV studios.
Oh, man. Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
Now, you know, Valentine's Day is Sunday.
Yes.
And I think we should need to start the show off a little bit different.
I love you, and
I'm sorry.
You read my mind.
I was right on cue, man.
I love you, and I'm so glad we're doing this together.
I love you, and I'm so glad that we're doing this together.
Oh, Dave, I love you, and I'm so glad we're doing this together.
That's the way you start a modern podcast.
Hello.
Yeah. That's
don't leave me hanging.
Adam, I love you. And I'm so glad we're doing this together.
Okay, thank you. Now the universe is equal. Okay. Wow, man. How's it been? I think it's been, I kind of lost track of the week. I'm not even sure what happened anymore. There was so much.
That's a pretty good description. Yeah, there was a lot. It was kind of a weird week. It just kind of flew by and I don't really know how to explain it. It was kind of busy at work and I was trying to keep up with that and with the podcast stuff. I think there's one or two days where I was just kind of, you know, missing in action, but
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, I felt that.
Yeah. I was having trouble with, I was having some trouble at work.
let me explain what that means. I felt that. Oh yes. I love you. I'm so happy to be doing a podcast with you. Now, in general, though, let me just say this universally. Maybe more people have felt this. Besides that, you were out, Dave's got something going on. He's clearly he's busy, but he'll show up. And sure enough, you posted like near the end of the day or whatever. That's how I know if people are alive is podcastindex.social. But in general,
it's basically the Apple Watch of social
media. It is. The day after the Super Bowl, Monday, up until even today, still. My email has been low volume. I've seen low volume of posts on Twitter. In fact, the only thing where there was any real action was on the Index Mastodon. It was noticeable, very noticeable. I don't know what happened. It was like it were also Mercury's in retrograde or some other, you know, something like that.
Whoa,
something going on. Yeah. It's not good.
Astrology,
bad stuff happens. I have a personal astrologer. Penny, she's the official No Agenda astrologer, and she sends me stuff all the time about my stars, my numbers, and all of this lines up. All of what's happening with podcasting 2.0 has been predicted in the stars.
There are no coincidences. That's the Adam Curry.
That's right.
Motto.
And there also are no secrets, only information you don't yet have.
Yes, that's true.
That's the true motto. Yeah. So tell me what you were working on the index, and then we can kind of pick it up from there so we can figure out what the update is. Because I have a lot of value for value stuff, but, you know, maybe do you have any namespace talk? Because
I mean, not really. I think we do need to talk. We kind of finished up and you know, quote unquote, shipped phase two. But I've been trying to think of sort of the next step, and I've been contacting, some people and posting on the namespace and like, hey, what, you know, where do we want to go from here? I mean, what do we want to do next? And I thought, you know, and Tom and James and a few other people, gave responses, but I'm not real sure what that means. I mean, we'll just talk about it in the board meeting and see what we want to do. Cause right. I got some ideas. And, you know, James mentioned, he's like, hey, maybe we need to kind of take a breather from building new things and like make sure that we give apps and hosts and stuff time to catch up.
There's a point to that. And now I'm recalling some of the things that I saw over the past week. Beautiful was to see Buzzsprout popping up with, you know, with location tags. So content is being created. Cridlin's doing it. Everybody is starting to create and take advantage of, well, Chapters is another one. And I'm seeing people switching apps. I mean, this is all just stuff I'm noticing on Twitter because I get tagged in it. So there is, you know, I think it's almost time to like pull back on the yoke a little bit, you know, because things
I feel that too. Yeah.
Things are lifting off, like the nose wheel is starting to become a little light. And really, when you see the content being created specifically for these features, that's when, you know, now something is happening. And who just added chapter images? Buzzsprout. So they just added that. Yeah. So they added that to their suite, and those guys are just kicking ass. You got Sir Gene showing up, who was starting to understand some of the features. You know, he's still saying, well, it doesn't work on Overcast, you know, so, and he's a smart guy. So you know, it's like, there's a little bit of education there, but there is something to be said for taking a breather, but I'd hate to lose momentum. At least we need to plant a flag in the future or maybe have a cutoff or proposal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was thinking that same thing too. It's like there's this tension between momentum and
runaway train, like no one can catch it. Yeah,
yeah, and I don't want to do that, you know, because like there is some wisdom in kind of okay, let's take a pause and take a breather and say okay, let's give people. The reality is, I haven't even caught up yet. I mean, I don't even have person and location are not even in the index yet.
No.
Halfway finished.
Well, no, there's your answer. Yeah. There's your answer.
But I do think we need a time limit though. So like, sure. Let's just say, well, okay, let's pause. Let's have an intermission, between now. And let's say we pick up phase three at, 30 days from now or whatever and start, then begin to take submissions for that and begin to discuss. So let's pause for a month, but have an actual date in mind where we don't say, hey, let's chill out for a while because I don't like that either.
Yeah, no, agreed. And here's what I'm feeling because, you know, I try to use all the apps that everyone's working on, try out the new features, promote them. Obviously, you got to post it on no agenda, podcastindex.social so I can see it. So I can get some, you know, well, I still have 57,000 Twitter followers. I think they're real. So it's a useful.
Is that post purge?
That's post purge. Yeah, it's a useful wagon. Useful wagon. But I can see right now a lot of people are excited about Lightning and they're integrating that. And I know, and maybe our guest later today will be able to tell us more. But I know some people have put some things aside that they wanted to fix, enhance, do another version of to do this. And I think for my money, we've pushed very hard. And everyone's pushed themselves very hard. And maybe we just, I mean, there's integration between the things that we have created already, some of the newer tags, and Lightning. I mean, there's stuff to be done here that, and neither you or I are qualified. You know, we need to hear from the developers. We need to hear what they want and or individually. I have a feeling, just guessing, that they'll probably be like, yeah, it'd be okay to let's work on this right now. And maybe we have, instead of a deadline of something that, you know, could people have to do additional thinking, we have a start line. It's like, on this date, we're going to start.
I like that.
You know what I mean?
I think that's, I think that works.
Because who the fuck needs another deadline for something? I don't.
No, I don't either. That's a lot of stress.
Yeah. And that's not why we did this. We did not do this for any kind of stress or bull crap or any of that. Also, not for profit, which is kind of interesting. Very fun.
I think we both are kind of similar. I mean, I know that you and I both get excited about something and we just, it's like, it just has to burn itself out of our brain. I mean, like, it just has to, I've got to make it happen.
That's the source of my sleepless nights sometimes.
Like, yeah.
I just got to try this one more thing.
Yeah. And so I think we've sort of come to a natural, kind of, that initial burnout has worked itself out. I've got it out of my brain now, but now I really need to do a couple of things. I mean, I got to finish person and location tag. Also, there's work to be done on the value block. There needs some tweaks there.
Yeah, because that may start to accelerate once people start to see it. I mean, I'm seeing increases now. I'm at almost $3 a day on my personal stuff, and I don't know who's using it.
But, is that the node that, like, No Agenda and Podcast Index and Social? I mean, yeah, Podcast 2.0.
Yeah, that is across my split of this show, my split of No Agenda, and my split of MoFax. Okay, I think this show is the majority of it. And the Boost. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Boost is where Boost is where stuff comes from. But if you look at the number of transactions, which is what I posted on the Mastodon the other day.
Yeah, like 10K.
Yeah, the index has seen over 10,000 minutes, and so that's excluding the boosts.
Wow.
So it's just the minutes that a minute payment went out in a month, which is, it comes out like 700 hours, I think.
Jeez Louise. And
am I saying that right?
Literally,
hold on.
Yeah, I think so.
Am I saying that right? I'm such an idiot.
So it's like, 9,000 would be...
let me see, 10,000.
Six.
1, 2, 3 divided by 60, right?
Yeah, I think that's
60
right.
60 is, it wasn't that much. I knew it couldn't be that much. 166. Like, how can it be? What did I do wrong?
That's not right.
What the hell is this Microsoft calculator? That doesn't tell you enough. Hold on. I mean, it seems.
This is the part of the show where we do
this
math.
This is horrible. No, it's 166 hours. I'm telling you, that's what it is. Am I doing that right?
Really? It's 10,000 hours, right?
No, 10,000 minutes.
10,000 minutes divided by 60. 166 hours.
Yeah.
Okay. That's exactly not what I thought it was.
No, that's much less than I thought it was.
But still, 166 hours. Now, when you've got 15 or make 15 podcasts.
Oh yeah, and who the hell knows? I mean, it's pretty much Sphinx and PodStation. That's the only things that'll do it. So I'm amazed. I'm amazed that Sphinx is, man, those guys, I appreciate them so much.
Me too.
They're redoing their whole back end. Whatever happened when they brought us in, it's like we came in and we pooped so hard that their plumbing is just jacked. It's like, you know, they're pulling that sludge out, you know, that you see on TV.
It's like Caddyshack. It's like the Snickers just floating in the pool, you know.
Hey, people, stop putting those podcast wipes down the tube. You're clogging up the system. It's like turning into this rock formation. So, and I feel really bad. But on the other hand, I think we really did everyone a service.
No, I heard from Evan on the Sphinx Podcasting 2.0 tribe.
Yeah.
The Podcast Lightning tribe that I thought he was dead. I thought we had lost Evan.
I hadn't seen him in a long time. Either they had abandoned ship and it was just like floating Death Star, or they were
floating,
or they were patching holes. And I think there was a lot of plugging.
Yeah.
And I'm like, these guys are going to be heads down developing. That's what's going on here. They are
He said they're working on some stuff, and so we got some tweaks to make to the value block for him.
Oh my god, we got all kinds of stuff to do.
Yeah. LNPay, yeah.
So. Yeah. But anyway, so that's probably a good idea, you know. And we just have many other things to check off the list. Everybody does. Everybody has a list of stuff. And you know, I'm just sitting here waiting, like, and also I need to go out on the road again. The virtual road. You know, I got to do a couple more podcasts. I got to bring some more people in. Got to tell our story. Our story's refined. It keeps getting better. The story is accentuated. The whole world is looking at alternatives to the platforms. We're kind of in the sweet spot.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the timing of everything of when this was going to be needed exceeded my expectations. It was like, well, we've got these ideas about things that may happen in the future, and then they happened like a month later, you know?
Yeah. Well, here's something I feel is coming, because right now I've been through when podcasting started and when I was foolish enough to think we could do this in a traditional broadcast model, raised VC money, went out to San Francisco. We were on a path, and podcasting was the hottest thing. It was the darling. And then all of a sudden, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all of these community-based things, social networks, and I would say YouTube was just enormous. I mean, that made us change our business model in hindsight. None of it was good. So podcasting kind of got pushed down to the bottom, and it grew very steadily until Serial came along a couple of years back. And then from there, it just exploded. And also because people were so sick and tired of what they were getting with, you know, they were missing something. And that something is clearly solved by podcasting, where you can do other autonomous things while you're listening. It's much more peaceful, restful than looking at a social network. It's just a good experience and people like it. Now we have something that is going to push podcasting down in the press for a little bit, and that is Clubhouse.
I'm glad you brought this up, because I want to talk about this.
I'll give you my opinion, then we need to bring in our guest.
I think David has opinions on this.
Oh too. Man, you can don't no spoilers on the guest, man.
Oh, I'm sorry, I mean Jim. Jimmy.
Daryl. Everybody has said, well, screw it. Let's bring him in, and then I can prognosticate, and then we can hear his opinion. Ladies and gentlemen, Podcasting 2.0 is very proud to welcome to the boardroom the genius behind in-app community chapters from Hypercatcher, David Norman.
Wow, I can't live up to that, but
you do, my man. You do live up to it.
Super excited to be here. Thanks a lot for having me.
No, we love having you here. You've been along for quite the ride. We know so little about you, really, I guess. I'd love to know, who is David Norman besides the guy who does Hypercatcher?
That's by design. He doesn't want you to know a lot about him. He lives in a cabin in Idaho.
Well, good.
In the woods.
I do live pretty deep in the woods, so I'm pretty excited that my internet is held up for this long. So,
and you are in Idaho? Is that where you are?
No, I'm actually north of Seattle, about an hour north of Seattle.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm a San Francisco Bay Area guy. I grew up there. I moved out here to actually have a chance at owning a home.
Right. Good idea. good idea. That is like, I think there's a lot from the last two or three articles I've read, there's like a mass exodus going on out of San Francisco right now.
Yeah. So I was a little bit ahead of the curve. I got out a couple of years ago. But I definitely kind of, you know, I don't want to say I told you so, but I, to the people who are still there, but, you know, I worked in San Francisco for a little while, you know, taking the train into the city. I still kind of lived outside of the kind of, there's no way I was going to afford something inside of San Francisco. But just coming into the city every day, and just Seattle was actually a big improvement to that, in a couple of ways.
Now, you've been in the tech business, out there for a while, or?
So I've been a mobile software engineer for about 10 years now. Let's see. Before that, I kind of got started, joined the Navy out of high school. I was there for 5 years.
Oh, wow.
Flying on air crew, flying on P3C Orions as a radar operator.
Nice.
So that's kind of my intro.
Cold.
That's kind of what I...
Real cold there.
Yeah. But that's kind of where I kind of see my intro to podcasting and how I got involved is just, we would be on flights for hours at a time and I would kind of take radio shows with me on my iPod. And, I think you had some tech back then that would have helped make that better that I didn't know about at the time. Yeah. So I would just download, a radio show onto my iPod and just bring it with me and just fit as many as I possibly could, at the time. And, yeah, when I got out of the Navy, I went to college and the Joe Rogan experience, it kind of started around that time. I got my first iPhone and I was just been like just huge in the podcasting since then.
Nice.
And
so did you just decide at some point, you know, I could make this better?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was a Overcast user for a long time. And the thing that actually sparked it in my mind was Stratechery had a podcast that came out.
Yeah, Ben Thompson.
Yep, exactly. And so I subscribed to that, and he actually had this really cool feature. I'd never seen it before, which was an integration with Overcast that would change the album art based on the chapters.
Ah,
The ID3 tag, right?
Yep, exactly. And he'd kind of... I think people have been doing that, but he kind of worked it into his, to the actual program. So he would actually mention at certain points, you know, if you have the Overcast app at this point, you'll see this diagram that I put on the screen, and you'll see it update. And I just thought, like, why isn't there an app kind of built with that integrated, as kind of the, you know, the function of the app? Why does it have to be kind of hacked into album art? And that's where I kind of came up with the idea of Hypercatcher and, you know, bringing actual full integrated web experiences right into the podcast app.
Oh, that's interesting. So you were already heading in that direction mentally before the chapters and all that and transcripts and all that stuff were even thought of.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit. Yeah. I hadn't, I think that was a huge revolution. When you kind of brought up the idea of embedding it into the, as a JSON attachment to the RSS feed, because that enabled so much stuff that I hadn't even been thinking about yet. That was huge. But yeah, I'd been trying to find ways to get people to use chapters more and for a while now, because I just saw so much potential with them. And there's just a kind of a big hurdle to integrating them, because you had to actually integrate it directly into the MP3 file.
Yeah, I want to give you an official award for something you did. and I picked this thinking up from Dave Weiner, the idea that you are authoring in the same application you use to look at the runtime. Mm-hmm. And the whole concept of a podcast app, this is the first interactive feature, I think, ever that has truly been deployed and is clearly an interactive feature. Where you just listening to a podcast and you can say, oh, hold on a second, I want to suggest a chapter here. And you hit it and it goes off into the magic back end. And then the podcast producer can approve those, change those, you know, adapt them, whatever. It's a groundbreaking idea. It's Google Docs for chapters. You know, it's really, really, I love it. It's so smart. And it's given me this almost insatiable desire to want to, I want to produce the whole thing. I want to be doing WYSIWYG podcast publishing.
Right.
To some degree, it makes sense. Not entirely, but you know, to some degree, it just makes sense.
Right. Yeah. And I appreciate you. That was entirely your idea, I'd say. And actually adding them in, adding podcast chapters from the app, community chapters. I remember hearing you talk about it on a podcasting 2.0 podcast.
I'm giving it all to you. I'm giving it to you.
So yeah, that definitely improved the experience a lot, I think, and opened up the door to allow anybody to add that. The thing, I kind of had some hesitation about that early on because there are kind of apps that have done this. I think you've also talked about that. Cloud, I can't think of the name of it right now, but there are, you know, apps, web apps that allow you to basically add comments to an audio file. And then people use it for music. They use it for podcasts. But that's just kind of, there's no interaction from the creator there. And that's really what I wanted to include, was an ability for someone actually who was producing it to go in and say, yeah, this is a useful comment, or this is a useful point to add in as well.
It's super cool, these types of feedback mechanisms. Because, and I think for that very reason, that you want to use it as the owner of the content itself, you want to produce it. But what I've learned, from day one, and certainly with the value for value model of how you can make revenue off of creative works in today's in a new economy, a new digital currency enabled environment, mm-hmm. it's like you can do so much now with this interactivity between the users and the applications, and they become a part of the product. This is the magic. It's like, contribute to your product. I people think it doesn't, right. It doesn't pertain to their podcast, but every podcast can do this, can have, if you are not activating your audience to be a part of the show somehow. And it can be as simple as starring something, but that has to work across all the apps. Or as intricate as a chapter with art and a link, you know. So there's work involved, but I mean, the proof is in the pudding. People raise their hand immediately. Holy crap! How can I participate? I mentioned Hypercatcher yesterday on No Agenda. Did you see any uptick in downloads?
I haven't checked the analytics for it recently, okay. But I have, right. One thing I have noticed that's gone up just in the last couple of days
is API usage.
Yeah, your AWS bill.
Well, that's always up. That's been up for a while.
Well, seriously, for one moment, how much is it costing you? And for everyone to understand, for three of my shows, which is all I have, I'm using the... So Dreb Scott, he manages the whole thing with Hypercatcher Studio on the back end. You know, but I link to your API when an app requests the chapter file. So that's putting a load on you. And until we have, you know, LSATs or some other thing enabled, I'm going to put you in the value block because it's costing you money.
Well, so there's a couple things. One, it's not a ton of money. It was kind of trending in that direction. Where I was getting a little worried for a little while. I think I posted
a
couple
things. That's not a good feeling. That is not a good feeling. Been there.
So part of the problem was I'm a mobile developer and I haven't been building backends for too long. And so there were simple things like caching that I wasn't even doing. I was hitting the database for every request, which was super expensive. So after implementing caching, that helped a lot. So that was trending towards a pretty scary number. Right now it's about $100 a month. But that's
goodness, young man, this is unacceptable. Okay.
Dave, there's the other side of this. You guys are already helping, actually, because this is entirely, I'm sure, the No Agenda audience and Podcasting 2.0 developers helping out with this. So I've got a monthly subscription for my app that's, you know, I've had the app out for a year now. And just in like the last few months, it's been increasing a lot, the number of people who are actually subscribed to it.
Oh, nice. So
it's only a dollar a month, but I'm making about $33 a month right now. And that's
magic number.
Well, suggestion on that side of things, you really need multiple subscription levels, if at all possible. I don't know if Apple lets you do that, but like, I mean, seriously, if you know, I subscribed to it. And to the Hypercatcher, I mean, if you had a $10 a month or a $20 a month thing, you know, I would do it today. I just can't.
Yeah.
You need to allow people to pay you more money.
Yes.
Is what you need.
Yes. Dave, can we? So first of all, David's node has to be in the split for us. We got to put him in our value block.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll put him next to Dreb Scott.
Yeah. Right away. I mean, well, yeah. Not right away.
You'll do that. Well, yeah. I don't know. Does David, do you have a node? Do you have a Lightning node?
Yeah. So I was actually playing around with the LMPay API recently. So I've been able to set up a wallet there and local wallets. I've been using Blue Wallet on my
Right. My do they have? I don't think LMPay has key send receive enabled yet, or does it?
They do, but you have to have. Guillermo said you have. We talked to Tim, and you have to have a wallet ID and a custom record. That's the way it works on the incoming key send, which is, but we're working on that right now because turns out Sphinx needs the same thing. They need a key value pair, custom key value pair
in order to route it past their main node. Okay. So is that right. the Lightning Labs fix that everyone's been talking about and working on?
Not sure. No, I don't think so. I think this is just two different use cases that happen to coincide at the same time.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's coming, David.
Cool.
Value is coming. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
That's crazy. You should not have to pay for that.
I'm super excited about the LMPay integration stuff. That's definitely something. Oh, man.
Before you know it, you're making feature. $3 a month. I mean, it's going to be $3 dynamite. Hey, it's 10%. Hold on. It's 10%. I mean, it's a difference. Just got to do that times 1,000, baby. Just got to get some people using your app. I'm telling you. I got a good feeling about this.
None of you app guys charge enough. I mean, seriously, like
They've been beaten into submission by Silicon Valley overlords telling them you're 99 cents.
Yeah.
Shut up over there and sit in the corner and pay me $1,000 for the dev kit.
$1,000 for the dev kit, and don't you charge more than 99 cents?
I mean, come on,
money grubbing piece of crap.
Yeah, let the scales fall from thine eyes.
No, I agree. I'm on Martin about this too. I mean, like, you know, and Mitch at Podverse. Like, I bought Mitch's thing. I'm like, wait a second, why can I only give you like $1? I mean, like, this is not right, guys.
Yeah,
at least give me some tiers here.
Exactly. You know? No, you're exactly right. So what we need
so
to be
what about able- Clubhouse?
Oh,
were you going to ask? I think this fits right in though. This what reminded me of because
it does.
You know let me tell you what it fits in my head is with HyperCatcher. Like you have true interactivity with the product. The product itself is actually changing when the audience participates. In chapters and that kind of thing. But with something like Clubhouse, it's more like it has the appearance of interactivity, but there's the product, which is sort of up on the dais, you know, up here where you can't get to it. And then everybody else gets to sort of comment and chat down here. It has this kind of sort of appearance of interactivity. But you still can't really reach the product. Is that stupid?
No. I'll go back to my analogy because this is very consistent since September, since we started this, even before that, I would say, just in the research portion of it. This has been a parallel. It's like the simulator rebooted and podcasting is starting all over again. But it's in an accelerated timeline. Things are happening much faster, and there's obvious reasons for that compared with 16, 17, 18 years ago. We've got tools. So after the initial explosion of podcasting, then came the social networks. And podcasting grew slowly, slowly, slowly underneath all this hype until people were sick and tired of it, and they needed something else. It was also people had been binging their asses off, watching Netflix, oh my God, I can, and Hulu, I can watch all 5 seasons of Breaking Bad, you know, back to back. And people were burned out. They were burned out on all of that. And I think a little bit of algo burnout, perhaps. And so and all of a sudden, here was a show, Serial. And no, you have to wait. You can't hear what's going on until the next episode, which is next week. And people were, and they started to just go nuts about it. So here we have the perfect storm where people are resorting to the final bastion they have of free speech, actual speech. The social networks are not serving them anymore. It's either not enough characters or there's too much being algoized, whatever it is. They're hunkering to be a part of conversations. And podcast, this is really, in my mind, you're going to see a lot of new podcasts coming online, because this is podcasting for paupers who don't want to take the, or don't feel the need. There's nothing wrong with it. Feel the need to figure out what it takes. And of course, this is the complete analog to Twitter. There are celebrities here, so I can get some of that celebrity juice. Cause that, and this is the mistake, that they're marketing this as, you know, celebrity driven. You can talk to the CEOs or to the captains of industry. It's really exciting, and you can start your own room. And you know, at the end of the day, what's wrong with this, and why people, if they don't leave because they're not being satisfied and find that they can do things and maybe more interactive things with podcasts, which we'll be building around them, they will drop off, or they will be deplatformed. That's coming. And God knows what Agora, who is the technology provider, is a Chinese company. God knows what they're doing. And no one talks about that. No one talks about that this is a Shanghai company who provides the entire they provide it for a lot of other apps, by the way. Any voice-enabled app stuff, it's a Chinese company under the hood. So enjoy all that shit, everybody. So it's going to take several months. I don't know how long. You know, this is why you get Mark Cuban. He's a venture capital guy. He's a guy that sees something and does the most despicable thing, which these VC guys always do, is, oh, yeah, I got a much better version of that in the hopper. Oh, yeah, it's coming out of the lab. Oh, fuck you, Cuban. Put up or shut up. Get out of my face with that. That's really annoying. And then I have seen... And then I'll end here, and then I apologize. We'll stop monopolizing our guest time. I have seen hardcore Bitcoiners, you know, young guys, 25, 30, you know, the millennials, the ones doing the work, the ones who are truly changing the world. And they're sucked up. And they're like, hey, let's do a Bitcoin clubhouse, and we'll do it every Thursday. I'm like, okay. So one, it's called a podcast, what you want to do, and you're trying to find an instant audience. Mm-hmm. Two, how can you, a fighter on the tip of freedom, of financial freedom, of sovereignty of finances, want to put your ass inside a walled garden propped up by China?
100% agree. Yeah, because I don't know how you feel about this, David. I mean, you've been on Clubhouse. I haven't been on it, but it feels like the beginning, just like Adam said, it just feels like the beginning of so many things we've seen before. If you've been around for, you know, 20 years, we always see this. It's exclusivity driven, access to the celebrity or access to the big guy. And then after a while, I mean, it's just like a new restaurant pops up. You always have huge portions for a great price. You know, 4 months later, the portions get smaller and the price goes up. I mean, like, this is not going to continue like it is. I mean, the big guys are not going to stay. I mean, like, VC guys are going to sit there on Clubhouse for 3 hours a day, and that's not going to happen.
I'm sitting in the parallel timeline, and I can tell you what's next. Next will be the Clubhouse fail whale. It's coming.
Oh, I've gotten it multiple times.
There you go.
Elon Musk was in a room the other day, and you cannot get into that room. It was impossible.
There you go.
That's actually one of the things that's starting to pop up, is kind of the journalists starting to get upset that when they can't get into a room, much like Adam, when you're talking about Kara Swisher's initial reaction to podcasting.
Right. Yes. Ooh, how do we contain this evil shit?
Right. That's a take that's starting to pop up more and more. Number one, how do we contain it? And then why isn't it being blocked? Why aren't people being deplatformed for saying things already? But, you know, I don't have access to certain individuals that have blocked me, or I can't get into the room because it's full.
Right. Which is why I dedicate myself to this generation to make places that are free, and you can't be kicked out, denied access, etc. I mean, this is so, I mean, it's beautiful, and I love seeing these same journalists going writing and on going on television saying, "Well, you know, where's the social control over this stuff? That's just crazy." It's like, whoa. We're on. Wow, man, this is great. We're doing something important. I can't spend a moment on Clubhouse. I'm thinking about every app developer. How can I make their lives better? Get them paid.
Well, when is Dan Benjamin gonna fire up the lawyers and go after Cuban for Fireside? I mean, that's clearly trademark issue there.
So
hey, Fireside, yeah, come on. So
I presume he trademarked it.
Got to. Come on, Dan.
But he has enough
prior art. Tip of the spear, man.
But, you know, man, that's a tough path, baby. That's a tough path. He's got to find someone who wants to take... Yeah, I mean, what'll wind up happening, best case scenario, if Cuban is sincere, and I've been through it. It's a Lanham Act lawsuit. I've had it with MTV.com. I've been exposed to these terms in the courtroom itself, as well as a copyright and trademark. Recently... with Laura Logan has no agenda. You know, we had a trademark dispute and we actually like her. And we said, okay, look, you can use that. That's okay. But you can't just say, you can't have plastered on an ad, Laura Logan, no agenda. You got to like do the whole sentence. So we have, you know, rules about how they can use that. But we were just lucky. We have several lawyers amongst the producers. And one of them did this for us pro bono. And, you know, that would have cost us thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So the best case scenario is they make you go away with some money, which can make you happy, but you lose the brand you worked for.
What do you think, David? What do you think is like it around the Clubhouse sort of model? It's like, you know, one of these guys pops up and then there's five copycats. I mean, from my thinking, and I think Kevin Finn at Buzzsprout mentioned this to me the other day, that if the next phase of the namespace or podcasting 2.0, it really probably should be something along the lines of chat, discussion, interactivity, you know, and I really have no sort of, that's one of those things where you can think of like five different directions that could go. And I'm not sure which one is the right one. And it's a really super complicated idea. I mean, not to throw you on the spot, but I mean, do you have sort of any inkling of how you would begin to sort of fry that fish?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it a little bit as well. And yeah, I've kind of come to the same conclusion right now. Like, it's kind of a different beast in some ways. So it's not really something I have a lot of experience with. But it would be interesting, though. Just to defend Clubhouse a little bit, though, not that I disagree with anything that's been said, but
no, you can't defend anything we don't like. Okay. It's not allowed.
So there are some interesting things about Clubhouse. So one of the things is, the fact that journalists are trying, to silence people. The reason is because it's really difficult to do that right now. So there are some wild conversations going on there that, you know.
How does the moderation work? Does the moderator have a panel and they can mute and unmute? And how does that work with hundreds or thousands of people? What are the limits? I've never used it. I've seen the screenshots. I know what it does.
Yeah, it's super interesting. I definitely recommend just like checking it out. But it's pretty interesting moderation style. So you've got your speakers who are moderators, and they can they actually have control. They'd be like maybe one or two moderators for a room, and they can actually control who is brought up on stage. And if you're on stage, then you can talk. You can't necessarily bring anyone else on stage, but you can talk, you can unmute your microphone, that sort of a thing. And the moderation side of it, so the moderators can obviously remove someone, kick them out of a room, keep them from speaking, but then other people in the room can also go and report your account and eventually get you blocked. So people can block you. And if you're blocked, then you can't join a room with that person, that's running the room. So there's some, that's kind of where, some of the issues are coming up right now, where Taylor Lorenz, a New York Times reporter, was blocked by Mark Andreessen. He was in a room with Elon Musk, speaking, and she couldn't join the room. So she had a kind of a, she was upset about that.
And what's interesting is, you know, I heard the Elon thing. I heard two different, you know, because eventually they just get put on YouTube or whatever, and you're able to listen along.
Exactly.
I like Elon, but, you know, he was talking to Vlad from Robinhood, and Elon doesn't know shit about what he's talking about. He doesn't know about the DTC. He doesn't know about the settlements that happened. He really doesn't understand. So, you know, to me, it was, if anything, really bad, because a lot of people got to hear the spin from Vlad, the CEO, which Elon had no way of he had no parry for it. But you can't expect him to, because it's not necessarily his field of expertise. But that's a great way for people. You know, it's like, I don't want to see sports people interviewing Bill Gates. You know, not Kobe Bryant. No, maybe that was actually, I think Kobe did interview Bill Gates before the accident. You know, I was like, I don't want to see that. But anyway, so that's fine. I guess that works, but what's the excitement? Is the excitement you can raise your hand and maybe get picked on stage? Can you whisper amongst other people in the room? Can you say something to somebody else?
Yeah, that I wish there was some sort of in-room chat feature. So if you're not on stage, you're just listening. That's all you can do besides raise your hand and ask to get on stage, which you'll be ignored on a big room like that. But I would definitely say one of the most interesting experiences I've had on there, there was a room discussing some of the issues in San Francisco and some of the kind of crime issues that have been happening there. And there was a lot of talk about the DA in San Francisco, Chesa Boudin. And so there's a room with some VCs kind of discussing it, and someone told him about it, and he actually joined the room. So as they were kind of discussing it and kind of blaming him for the issues, which I do think he's responsible for a lot of them, but I thought it was kind of cool that he actually joined the room and they brought him up on stage and joined the conversation, where they had a kind of a big conversation about the issues specifically.
Exactly. So, if I were to do something for Clubhouse, I would take this podcast and I record each of us on a separate track. I'd play that back and have each track go to an account in a room. You with me? On stage. So the three of us are on stage and this conversation is taking place. But to the audience, it looks like we're on stage and we're each speaking individually. And the appeal there, I think, is very, very powerful. There's two things. One, it's a great sample. So if you could only skim through podcast episodes that fast and get that kind of an immediate hit. Oh, okay. This is what this is about. It's almost like being at a conference where you go to one session. Oh, this is boring. I'm going to leave. Get out of that session. Go to another one. So you're in there. And then when something is really interesting, you have a theoretical opportunity that you get to participate in that. I think the chance is obviously quite small, depending on the topic, the panel, and the size of the audience. But it is a model that is important for us to look at, that ability to join in. Now, that's not the nature of podcasts, which is real time, but there's that need. People want to participate, and you see it in super chats on YouTube. You see it with the like buttons. It's all this feedback that we have completely failed on as a protocol.
Yeah, I actually see what you guys just did the other day with the Zoom call about LNPay was pretty much a Clubhouse room. That was pretty cool.
Correct.
To me.
Jitsi, all in there talking. Jitsi is the same as Clubhouse to me.
Right.
I mean, it really is. It's just, but make no mistake, Clubhouse, along with Cash App, are the blackest apps in the App Store. And I got turned on to Clubhouse by Mo. He told me months ago, he says, Adam, you got to keep your eye on this shit. And there's a couple of reasons for it. They're also paying people. This is another part of the launch strategy. Pay people. Now, it's the same that libraries doing that too. Libraries doing that too. You know, they've got $100 million. They're giving away grants. They're paying people to use their platform. And, you know, that ultimately, you got to have pain before you learn. And a lot of people are going to go through the pain of being deplatformed, having their, something taken away, getting kicked off, being limited, features going away, whatever it is. You don't control it. So it's just, but the analog is that'll be with us for several months. People are going to be talking about that shit, and then we can build when they're all done, then we'll be there ready for them. And I think these community features, shall I tell you guys a dream that I had?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. All right, here we go. The dream was that if I wanted to place a comment on a show I was listening to, I'm going to give you the Adam Curry, Rube Goldberg version. I would, in my app, I type a little comment, I hit go, it sends a payment, a lightning payment to the splits, but the podcaster, the app also gets it, of course. And my comment is in that payment, regardless of the size of the payment, which would be determined. It then is immediately picked up by a bot or an API or something else that posts that comment to a Telegram channel, an IRC chat, or back to the app itself. And not only do you have a comment placed in context of when you were listening, you can also get all those when you play the show back again. So pretty much like Sphinx is doing, only we still have to figure out that one magical piece in the middle. And that would work theoretically across all apps. It's just you have to sync up the time codes, and maybe that flows into a separate file. But even before you get that into the apps itself, I thought it would just be cool even to just have a Telegram channel that updates when someone comments or when someone boosts or when someone does something else. I mean, that by itself would be a start.
That sounds doable.
Yeah, but do you like the idea? Fuck it, if it's doable. Is that something that...
What I'm hearing... what are your thoughts, David? What I'm hearing is that you could do this with some sort of... Or what makes the most sense to me is some sort of DHT or blockchain or something. Like, because otherwise you're just going to be left with
somebody running something. Yep, exactly. But can you see the steps to get where we need to be?
I mean, it kind of sounds like community chapters, but with a paid component where you attach that to some sort of thing.
That's the beauty. The beauty of the paid component. Mm-hmm. Is it eliminates bullshit. Because if you got high bullshit on your comments, it's 100 Satoshis to comment.
Right.
All of a sudden people are going to be a little more careful.
I think that could eventually be a thing. Like, I think high bullshit issues is definitely why SoundCloud comments aren't very useful. And that was the app I was trying to think of earlier that kind of does that.
SoundCloud. Yes, exactly. On the timeline. Yeah.
Right. But then, I'm also... I think getting people to leave comments right now or community chapters in apps to begin with is a struggle. So I think adding the payments on to begin with, I think there just needs to be adoption of getting people to realize that they can do that. And, getting people to get used to adding comments in some fashion. And then I think once you actually have that part of it solved where people are wanting to do it, then adding in the payments would probably be something that SoundCloud should have done a while ago to bring up the quality of their comments.
Yeah. And I would just say, I'm not waiting for anything. I'm going to keep pushing everybody on these things because what have I seen? Chapters is the best example. Chapters and location and transcript. I mean, it's blowing me away and there's adoption, but if we wait for that chicken and the egg, as long as you've got a couple of, as long as you got one app and one feed tool company and you've or tool entity and you've got one creator, you just keep showing people how to do it, and then eventually people go, I'd like that, or I have a different use case, or I have a reason for it. Everything falls in place. The onboarding of Lightning, now I've been following everything very closely. Onboarding is being done for us. Hello Visa, hello MasterCard. I mean, these guys are in the game now.
They're lagging on Lightning, though. That's what bothers me.
That's all going to happen.
Because all we have, essentially, the only way that we have, the only simplistic onboarding onto Lightning right now is Strike. And when I mean simplistic, not just from a user experience standpoint, but from but from a financial, monetary, tax, all that stuff standpoint, because if, once you get into the beauty of strike is I can pull $20 off my debit card into my strike wallet, and then I can send it to another strike user, and it goes straight, and it never leaves the fiat system. It never gets, you don't ever see that it's being converted to Lightning.
Right.
Or I can send it to another Lightning app and it becomes Lightning. And so, but the, you know, the problem with other apps is you got to convert it to Lightning.
I'm just going to disagree because.
Okay.
It's all taking place. There are people are into Bitcoin already. If they've already purchased Bitcoin, it's a small leap. You're still thinking, like my wife to a degree. You know, and I know that, you know, they're using Plaid as their middleware for Strike, and Visa tried to buy Plaid. That was anti-competitive. They weren't allowed to. So they said, fuck it. We're going to do that ourselves. So it's all going to take place. That onboarding, I'm just not worried about. In fact, I really don't want those users right now. I want users who at least have bought a Bitcoin, have maybe seen a QR code, kind of have some clue about stuff, but definitely have seen the value or that it represents value. And then it's a small step, I think, from getting them to a Lightning wallet. Or Cash App is going to do this. Cash App is going to do it. By the time we're ready, the first ones will be making it easier besides Strike. Everything about this is saying this is how it's going to happen. And the Zap wallet, although not appropriate for someone who doesn't have a node, I think they're doing it the right way. And actually, have you looked at the Phoenix wallet from that's the French guys? I mean, they're obfuscating everything. And this just send, receive, there's no real Lightning talk. It's one balance. They don't separate it. You know, you put your money in. Now they charge a fee for everything you're doing, but that's completely in the background. You show up with your bank, you show up with your credit card, your debit card, they take care of the rest. That's all happening. It's rolling out very, very quickly. And it has to. Look at the market.
You know, one thing I think that's interesting about Hypercatcher in regards to all of this talk is the UI within Hypercatcher is it's a different experience than a typical podcast app. Like when you boot up Hypercatcher, the first time I opened it, it took me a minute to figure out what was going on because I'm used to just this inbox style. Okay, you're in. Okay, here is your list of podcasts. When you get into Hypercatcher, the UI, it looks like sort of like a, I don't know, almost like a toolbox or no, that's not the right example. It's like being on somebody's personal website where they have like, you know, like a blog roll over here and sign up for the newsletter here. And here's the main content and blah, blah. Like they have, there's different sections of your sort of main home UI. And I think there's a little bit of an advantage here when it comes to adding on extra pieces, like we're talking about, like Lightning or chat features or maybe sound bites. There's like an advantage that you have because your UI is already laid out in such a way where people expect there to be different pieces that you can interact with on the UI.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some experimentation going on there. So I've got a lot of different things that, you know, you wouldn't normally find in a podcast app that I think makes it a little confusing sometimes, but it also gives me that ability to kind of expand and try out different things. So like newsletters is the newest thing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, you got newsletters there. And then like Adam was just talking about with like if you integrate a wallet in some way with LNP. Yeah, it's just like or a new little section where it's like, okay, I always just see my Lightning balance there.
And not only do I agree with what you're saying about that, Dave, but I think, David hit on something with his UI that I'm just now realizing where some ideas came from. So if you look at his podcasts and episodes, which is, that was for me the thing I had to figure out. It's like, okay, what am I seeing here? What is this list? And I use Podfriend a lot. And I think what we're seeing as a model besides the traditional inbox is here's your most recent updated episodes. which is just a running list hierarchy. And you kind of have a breadcrumbs separate from that. And here's what you listened to most recently.
Right.
Yeah. Something like that seems to be evolving as some universal interface that people are being drawn to. Do you feel that way, David?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely what I was going for. I actually just kind of built it the way that I wanted a podcast app to work. So whenever I would open a podcast app, I'd normally have to set it up to show me like a rolling. There's a lot of hot podcast apps that are actually really full featured in this area that Hypercatcher is not, and that you can set up different types of subscription lists. You can have the different lists kind of sorted in different ways based on the podcast or latest episode. And, you know, I just kind of built it in one way, and one way to just be lazy. And the other way is just like, I feel like it's the best way to present podcasts to the user is just kind of a rolling list of, all right, so you subscribe to a podcast, you know, you've got the No Agenda podcast, the Podcasting 2.0 podcast. You can go to those individual pages and see, you know, the whole episode list. And that's kind of a separate experience, or you can go to your subscriptions and then you're just going to get a rolling list of whatever is new. So you open that in the morning and you should see the latest podcasts from those apps.
Exactly. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. It wasn't necessarily, an intentional, you know, thinking that this is where, you know, everything is going, but it was kind of, that's the way I wanted it to work. And I just wanted this little setup, as possible to get started with it.
So the Hypercatcher Studio, which creates the JSON, which comes from your API, which is costing you about $100 a month, and you're welcome. how prepared are you? Because, you know, in the way we operate here is the days of free are over. That doesn't mean that you can't get access to something. We still think value for value is important, but I want to help you evaluate this model. Because, right, so now it's No Agenda Show, which probably pushes the most traffic to the API. But what if three more show up, or five more, or a whole bunch of other people really start digging this idea? How do we set you up for success? And is that something that we can solve with the value payments, or do we need to look at something more distributed? Or maybe it is the way to go, is to get rid of, because I've run services. Whew. It's, you know, I mean, Dave, tell us about running podcastindex.org, how much there is of requests and people have questions and things, and, you know, there's a lot of work.
Yeah. I mean, it's two or three emails, you know, sometimes a day of people needing, you know, hey, I changed an episode from, you know, 300 episodes back in my feed and it didn't update in the index. Can you, what am I doing wrong? It's like, I don't know. Let me go look. You know, there's a lot of pain points.
Yeah, I mean, part of my hesitation is definitely like those issues. My hesitation to charge people is because once I start charging, I feel like then there's going to be an expectation of things should work.
Sure.
Let me say this though, David. I know that feeling.
Yeah.
And I think you need to get over that feeling because the thing about it is like you can't. There is that mindset that exists where it says I can't start charging people money until this thing is perfect. But I don't like that because you know, the thing is you're presenting this product and it is what it is. And you need, you know, you've decided that it has value. And if they decide that it doesn't have value, well, they'll just go do something else. I mean, they don't, you know, you don't have that mindset. I know it exists and I've had it before too. And I have it, you know, with other things, but like, I think there is this idea. We do need to get over this idea that you can't like, once you I don't mean to go on and on about this, but look at something like, I mean, look at all the stuff that we buy on a daily basis that works half the time. It is infuriating. I mean, look at things like a perfect example. 2 weeks ago, you know, I'm trying to get my 10-year-old daughter, I'm trying to get her set up with Minecraft. You know, and we paid $30 for Minecraft or whatever. And so, you know, she's had it for a while. Well, it just wouldn't work. I mean, I spent like 3 hours trying to fix this thing. And before I finally just said, screw it. I blew the whole thing away, started over. She lost her world, all this kind of stuff.
Oh,
I mean,
like, daddy.
I know. That was all night long. And I had paid $30 for this thing and it didn't work. So, like, that's the thing is, I mean, things just don't work.
Here's an analogy that is worth looking at. Voltage.io, Graham, he charges money. We pay him, we bought a node for a year from him, a special beefed up node. I have my personal node, which is $10 a month or maybe 12. Sphinx, they would not take our money. Now, I don't think it's a money issue, but, you know, so we're just blowing out channels. You know, we're doing that 333,000 sats, like, boom, channels clogged. It's too much money. You know, it wasn't expected. So there's all these things that come into play. When you charge, people use the service differently. And I think that Sphinx might have been able to grow smoother if people's own money had been on the line.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, so I think I actually had a Microsoft or a Minecraft Lost World situation recently where Dreb Scott was working on updating some chapters from the agenda, switched tabs, came back, and all of his updates were gone. So those sorts of things are things that, like, really worry me. So I actually figured that one out. I haven't updated it yet. So there are a couple of, like, major issues that I want to get to before switching on some sort of payment for that, because I feel terrible when things like that happen.
But see, you know, I'll drive this point again, though. That situation is going to suck no matter if they pay or if they don't pay. And you don't get here it is. You don't get off the hook just because they didn't pay. You're still going to get an email about it, and you're still going to have to deal with it. And wouldn't it be nice to be paid for having to deal with it rather than not be paid? You know,
good point. Well, I signed up for LMPay, and I've got a paywall now. So the easiest thing I could do is kind of throw that on there and see what want to add.
Great.
I can definitely do that. So I think I'll be doing that soon. So
a paywall?
Yeah, so someone can, I actually just tested it out. I was able to sign up for the wallet on LNPay.
Mm-hmm.
Shows me a QR code. I just take my Breeze wallet or my Blue wallet, whatever, just point it at it, send it some sats, and it was just instantly there.
Oh, you know, that's great. Yeah, but what do you want a paywall?
Oh, that's just what it's called, I guess. I guess it wouldn't actually be a paywall that would block you from it. It actually will let you, it, I guess it does actually block the site. So I would set it.
Yeah, blocks the URL. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really want to do that. I just want to, you know, be able to use that, that same QR code in some way and just kind of throw it on the page and say, hey, if you want to buy me a coffee or something.
Oh yeah. No, that's called a, they have a different one for that. Hold on.
Okay.
It's like
a tip jar type thing.
Yeah. They have a different name for it. That's the one you want. It's also from LNPay. Hold on. I'll tell you what it is.
Okay.
So you have the, I see the faucet.
The faucet?
Yeah, faucet. No, the faucet is the other way around, right? I think that, but you can do, there was one you can do, I think it's LNURL. That's what you want. LNURL. Okay. And I think your Blue wallet may have that already. You can create an LNURL, which is just a standalone, hold on a second. What I call it is the homeless person's QR code. I mean, it's a joke. Here, paywall wallet. Okay, so I got to figure this out. But there's a way to do it in LNPay where you have either a single URL, which brings up a QR code, or one QR code, and you don't have to. You know, there's no, the paywall is a separate functionality. They also do.
Okay, so
but if you just want a standard thing that people can send money to, that's it.
This is a perfect example of something that I go back and forth with. Okay, so you've got a service, and you got a paywall there, or some sort of, like, you got a decision to make. You can say, okay, I'm gonna paywall this thing, and you've got to pay something to get in, or I'm gonna just give a tip jar. Well, you know, I understand the thinking of having of the tip jar mindset. It's like, okay, well, I don't want to keep anybody out. I don't want to put the burden of entry too high and that sort of thing. But then there is something to be said for just straight up paywalling this thing and saying, okay, if you're going to get in here and use this, I really need, you know, 20 sats or something like that. And there's two reasons for that. There's, like, not, you know, the obvious one is that you need some revenue. The other less obvious one may be that it also forces people into the Lightning ecosystem. And if we think, you know, right. like at least from my mindset, if I think once somebody has a Lightning wallet, now they're able to participate in things like this much easier, because it's really just QR code scan, boom, done. Rather than, okay, here's a paywall. Now you got to go to PayPal. Now you got to go to blah, 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 blah. And it's like some 5-minute process. Right. So it's like the beauty of the Lightning stuff is that it is so damn fast and just easy.
Scan it right on your phone. But you need to be able to copy the URL too, whatever it is. Copy that.
Yeah. So, I mean, like there's this sort of dual uptake issue where you have, where you kind of almost want to force people. If you say, okay, stop. I know you may not know anything about Lightning, but go get Strike and come back in 5 seconds. It's going to take you just as long to download Strike and put up your debit card than it is to go through the PayPal process. Anyway, it's just something I was thinking about.
Also, as a user of the technology, that's why you should get a part of our value block. I mean, it's a couple bucks now, but it could be $300 in a couple months from now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think that's the fairest way to me is like, hey, I'm using it. I'll throw you in the block. Or the way it would be even preferable, if someone uses your app, you know, you'd get a different value or whatever. I mean, because of course anyone can use it, and you know, ultimately some kind of LNSATs paid API is the way to go for stuff like that. But
right.
Anyway. Maybe shouldn't digress too much, but just saying that, wow, man.
This is the episode where we try to brainstorm every way possible to get David paid.
just send me an invoice, man. Send me a Lightning invoice. I want to send you
consulting.
Some money.
This is consulting.
I want to send him some money right away.
It sounds like I should be paying you guys for the consulting ideas.
You know, but because you have a real hard cost here, you know, it's an existing cost, and you just have to be paid for that. Doesn't go away for me.
I'm actually willing to pay a little bit more. So I actually have a feature on there that's a little bit hidden for anyone using transcripts on their podcasts that I don't think many people have taken advantage of yet. I have it blocked at a certain amount. But so if you're using the Podcasting 2.0 transcripts and you use HyperCatcher Studio, when you load it up in there, you'll see a special button to generate podcast chapters using the GPT-3 OpenAI's GPT-3 API.
I remember you testing that. Sure.
Yeah. So cool. That's in there now. Really? It costs a little bit of money every time.
Cool. That's awesome.
Depending on how large the podcast is. So I've got it gated so I don't spend, it doesn't just constantly charge my credit card if someone discovers it and wants to do their entire podcast backlog. but I am willing to pay a little bit more just to get some more chapters out there and get some more testing on that if anyone wants to try that out. That's something that I've been super interested in recently and working on machine learning and how you can kind of generate additional content from a podcast transcript. I think there's something pretty interesting there.
So I'm just in the studio now because I hadn't seen that. Where is this hidden feature, you bastard?
So it should be at the bottom. I sure hope now that you're actually trying it that it's working. But if you have a transcript associated, if you go
generate,
to the bottom,
yeah, generate chapters from transcript. What the hell, bastard? Okay, so what do you do?
You're
here?
Putting Drip Scott out of a job.
Well, no, I mean what I'm thinking is the opposite. Is you get a whole bunch of chapters, but it's much easier for him to remove or just have to add artwork. I think it's
right.
Oh yeah.
What is
if it was good enough, it's not quite up to snuff yet. It's nowhere near as good as Drip Scott adding content and chapter markers, but I'm hoping eventually it will be. So that's something I've been kind of working on recently in my spare time, in addition to maintaining HyperCatcher and the studio.
I saw some of your saw very a little cool. while back. You posted some of the epic fails of GPT-3.
Yeah.
The AI, when AI tries to do stuff, you get some pretty raunchy stuff sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one thing I've been kind of experimenting with. There are better models out there.
I'm going to try it on this episode when we're done. This episode is going to be auto generated. Dreb, heads up, buddy. I had no idea what's coming down.
Well, you know, I think this is. I don't know. I just, I think this is good. I think this is good for, you know, for just, I'm trying to figure out what I'm trying to say here. I think it's just good that you're trying to throw everything sort of at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
I love this.
Very much doing that.
Yeah. See, I love that. That's the sort of experimentation that I think has been lost with, like, sort of the corporate the VC. You gotta check with your stakeholders and make sure that they're on board with all this. It's like, you know, that sort of garage level, throw everything at the wall and see what sticks, kitchen sink type thing. I mean, it's so refreshing to see. It's like nowadays we don't see features being released until they've been gone over with a fine tooth comb and there's, you know, and they're all slick and then half the time it's a feature that, do we really even care about this feature? It's like, I would much rather see like 100 features come out and then say, oh, this one is killer, you know, and the other ones can just go away or they can languish or whatever. But I don't know. I just, it's something refreshing about that.
You know what? I'm sorry. Go ahead, David.
I was just going to say, there's definitely downsides to that as well. So HyperCatcher is probably one of the buggier podcast apps out there because I'm constantly trying to put new things out. And I definitely need to go around again and for another round of bug fixes soon.
Oh, I'll gladly help you with that. I'll even dig up the iPhone for it. Awesome. The crappy ass iPhone that struggles, like iPhone 7, like, oh, HyperCatcher, what you doing? Yeah, just to come back to the money thing, just because this is something that's forming in my head, I just want to put it out there. So this idea of trying to determine, you know, price finding for creative works for a podcast, you know, what is it really worth? What should it really cost? And when you think about it, there's a lot that goes into it. You know, besides the effort of the person involved, there's hosting, there's different features. There's, you know, in our case, there's chapters. There's different people who help along the way, including Dreb Scott, including HyperCatcher Studio and the API. You know, there's a lot of different things that flow up to that. And in a typical business scenario, the way it works is, you know, you got the core product and everybody who handles it along the way is just putting their shit on top. And then finally it gets into the store and here you are, here's your $10 item. And somehow the idea of value for value, where, you know, the price is found by the person using it and it's fair because, you know, I looked up value. It literally means the value to the holder of the asset. You know, it's not, the value is not what someone put on it for me to purchase it. But we're kind of, in a way, disassembling the assembly line. You know, you get to pay for the pieces independently so you can swap them out, almost like decoupling price from the value chain. Each entity in the chain gets its piece directly from the end consumer. And I'm not quite sure why, but this, you know, you hear a lot of bull crap about equity and equality. Somehow this is it. And I look forward to working with you specifically, David, because you're providing an extra piece in the chain which needs to get that value. And how we either obfuscate that from the end consumer and disclose it, or we say, here's what it is and this is why you're doing it. I'm not quite sure. But I think we're in a place where people are very willing to do this. They really enjoy. I mean, this is part of crowdfunding. This is part of GoFundMe. It feels inherently good.
Yep.
I mean, I was listening to Tales from the Crypt. It was a great episode. I was playing it from Sphinx Chat. 100 sats a minute. That's the value slider pegged to the right. And I'm on the shower. I'm thinking, like, I'm listening to this for an hour and a half. And it was like $6. I'm like, fuck, that was so worth it. And it felt good the whole time.
Yeah, I've got the same feeling because that's interesting that you take, some people take the different approaches, because like I set my value slider lower and then I just boost the crap out of stuff when I like it. It's almost the opposite. And that makes me feel better because I like the adrenaline, you know, dopamine hit of the boost. And so I'm like, okay, so I take this opposite approach. That's that whole subjective the whole idea of subjective value is almost
exactly.
It's more than just the value that's subjective. It's the subjectivity of how I want to deliver the value to you.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yep. Yes. Exactly.
That whole it's sort of mind blowing that we've gotten to this point now where this stuff is flexible enough to be able to do these things.
Script, I mean, my money.
Yeah, programmable money. It's a mind blower.
Yeah, totally agree, and super excited that you guys have pushed the envelope here and made all this happen. Super thankful to you guys for doing this as well. So,
well, no thanks needed, man. You are bringing your time and your talent. And Dave, who can we thank for bringing some treasure for this week's episode of Podcasting 2.0?
Duh, you almost caught me off guard. I had to reach for the paper.
Do you have your crumple notes? There you go.
We are good to go.
let me explain before we rush into it from people who are new. Value for value is the system. This whole project, Podcasting 2.0, podcastindex.org, podcast social, podcastindex.social, all of that is, and this podcast, all a part of the project. It's the value we're delivering. It's for a wide variety of people. If there's anything you get out of it, for whatever reason, just put that into a number and send it back to us. And the way you do that is go to podcastindex.org, scroll down to the bottom, big red donate button for the PayPal. There's also a Lightning invoice that you can scan with any of your Lightning wallets. And you can even, if you want, set a subscription for a weekly amount of Satoshis. Pretty cool. That is all. I think that's an LN URL system or something. And that's it. That's the exchange. It's pure value for value. Whatever you get out of it, you put into it, and we appreciate any amount because it means a lot to you.
Jeremy Cavanaugh, he appreciates our value. He signed up for a subscription for $10 a month.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
That's basically a node for us right there. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm spinning up a new search node for searching for just Lightning-enabled podcast, so
yes,
that we'll pay for it.
Yes, I think we could probably say that we've got another app coming pretty soon. Is going to give it a shot.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And we'll that'll. Thank you, Jeremy. That just covered our cost on that. And we've got a single donation of $5 from what is this last name? Merrick LACH. How do you say that last name?
Locke. Maybe
Lock. Yeah. Okay. Well, Merrick gave us $5.
Thank you, Merrick.
He says, way to go. Keep it open source.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's the only way to go. Open source, open mind.
And that is it.
Okay. Is sad puppy time, Drev. Sad puppy time. Holy crap. That's it.
We're giving out all this advice to, hey, David, wait, here's how you need to make money. And then we get $15.
Wait, who do we have on the last show?
No, it's just me and you.
Well, there you go. No guest, no love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, David, glad you could be here, buddy. We know you're gonna rake in the big bucks for the project.
Yeah. Yeah, David, you have such a track record of bringing in the dough. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if I'm the one to be doing that, but we'll see.
Now, is this your...
We'll find out next week.
Do you have a day job, David?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is taking a little break for this. And I just came back, so I had a baby a couple of months ago.
Oh man, that's right! Congratulations. How's that going?
Thank you. Oh, it's great. Yeah, it's super exciting.
Tell your girl,
boy.
Oh, great.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just kind of settling back into work. I've been back for a couple of weeks now. So
I'm sorry. Hey, Dave. He thinks he's settling back into the work.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, brother.
No,
it never ends. Yeah. Best thing you'll do in your life, but it never ends.
You're right.
Yeah. You have a small window of sanity between about 7 or 8 years old and about 14.
Oh,
and
no.
Everything on both sides of that is just chaos.
Chaos.
You got a few more years and then you'll be smooth sailing for a few years and then it's back to complete chaos again. And you'll be broke.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. This is total brokenness. You know, just why don't you just get a Lightning node for your kid right away? We'll set it up. We'll put your kid in the value block because you might as well get it out of the way up front.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely putting aside some Bitcoin for them.
Yeah. You can get the diaper node.
Yeah. Ah, yeah. Nice. Ooh, I love that. Something to think about. Diapernode.com. I don't know why, but I like it.
Congrats, man. That's best. Yeah. Like Adam says, best thing you'll ever do. I mean, you're going to, you know, I'm sure you've had a lot of sleepless nights so far.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's been worth it though. You know, hoping to raise another podcaster here. We'll see.
Did you get like a paternity leave or anything like that?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was off for about a month for that. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Man, that's something I wish I could have done with my kids. Just cause you know, yeah, because my wife, I mean, it was just such a hard thing on my wife. And then I'm working all day, and then I try to stay up at night and pick the kids up or get the kids up and feed them and all that.
Did you have this where, because whenever Christina would cry in the middle of the night, it was my job. I had no problem, but I'd get up, I put on my house coat, you know, if I had to really pee, I'd pee real quick and then, you know, go figure out what's wrong with the kid. My wife hated that. You're supposed to jump up and go race right away and see what's going on.
Yeah, no, I'm not of that.
No.
I was the more like get a cup of coffee first kind of guy.
Wow, that's really extreme. So, David, what else? What are your dreams, man? What do you want to be when you grow up?
Oh, podcast developer.
Oh, this okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm living the dream already. That's what I'm hoping for. So, yeah, that, you know, of course, I love what I do right now, being a mobile developer, working a little bit on the back end. But yeah, long term, would love to be able to work on this full time. So we'll see what.
Are you a Swift developer? Is that your language?
Yeah. Yeah. Swift. Just recently, we've been doing a lot more PHP. I've kind of started taking over doing some of the work on the back end as well for our API.
So you're a full stack guy then.
I'm getting there. I wouldn't call myself that yet. Definitely not on LinkedIn. Swift and Objective-C has been my wheelhouse for a long time. So
I love that whole thing. We're looking for a full stack developer. That means we want somebody that will do it all and that we don't have to pay very much.
Yeah, there you go.
That's code
two
language.
Developers in one.
It truly is. It truly is. What bull crap is that? I'm sorry you guys have to go through that shit. That's horrible. Yeah. That's really bad. Yeah. How about Hypercatcher? What did you have a roadmap, or are you just plodding ahead, picking up where it goes? I mean, is there anything that we can do for you to make life easier?
Yeah. So no, I mean, at this point, there's nothing new I would need. It's just really just picking up what you guys have already created and making sure that I'm supporting all the tags. So right now, I'm using the search. I'm using the funding tag, obviously chapters. I really want to get involved with people and the clips.
Soundbites, another one for app usage. Man, I would be making soundbites out the ass if I could do that in the app.
Yep. Yeah. So I really want you to be able to go to an episode and then be able to listen to soundbites. And so that's definitely something that's coming. I'm also working on something that's kind of newsletter related. It's notator.co is going to be coming out pretty soon, I hope. It's kind of someone hit me up on Twitter about working on something that was kind of had some similarities to what I'd already been doing with chapters. I had some cool ideas. So I'm hoping to have something out there soon for people to check out.
Notator.co?
Notator.co. Yeah. But like taking notes on a podcast sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your sort of draw to newsletters? I mean, that's kind of a big thing for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I think just seeing the way that, when I saw Glenn Greenwald go over to Substack and Matt Taibbi, all these, you know, email. I've heard people talk about kind of email being kind of similar to podcasts and that you can't really, you know, stop emails. It's a direct channel. It's kind of another, you know, a direct channel to the audience. I see that as being kind of censorship proof in a way. And I see some kind of correlation between podcasts and newsletters. Like there's all these newsletters. The reason I built the new feature on the Hypercatcher, you can actually listen to newsletters like a podcast because that's something I've been wanting to do for a while. There's all these newsletters out here that I that I want to listen to, and you know, and I don't necessarily have time to sit down and read it. So I wanted to build out a feature where you could listen to a newsletter like a podcast. So that's something that I recently added.
Oh, so here's where your whole transcript of Elon Musk shows up.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, so cool. So you're going to do it both ways. That's very interesting. The only thing I would say about that is, sadly, email, and we have a lot of experience with the No Agenda newsletter. Email is still some voodoo, man, because there's a lot of blacklisting, gray listing issues. There's just so many fucking things. I mean, look at MailChimp. You know, MailChimp deplatformed people. Now, I know that's not the same. Well, anyway, I could give you a million ideas for this. I like it. This is great.
Cool.
Very interesting. Yeah, I put that in the show notes. So hypercatcher.com, notator.co. Anything else that we should put in the show notes for you?
Well, there's studio.hypercatcher.com, but...
don't get greedy now. I'll put it in. That's it. Because I'll call it Hypercatcher Studio. There we go. Hypercatcher Studio.
Which is just a killer name, by the way.
It is a great name.
Hypercatcher Studio. I mean, that's just rocking.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah. Hypercatcher just kind of calls back to when I was a kid. I did a lot of work with HyperStack.
Oh, goodness. HyperStack. Oh, man. That was my first foray into besides BASIC. Yep. Yeah. And you could never get almost like AppleScript. You know, there's no manual. It's like, where can I find out how to actually work this stuff?
HyperStack, that's the Mac stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But from early days. Oh, and they get SuperCard.
That's what I meant. I said HyperStack. I meant HyperCard. Yes.
Yeah.
So I remember you emailed me, David. I mean, like right pretty soon after we started the Index API, and you said, hey, I'm about to release my Hypercatcher app out of beta or something like that. And you said, is it okay for me? Like, can you handle this in production? And I don't remember what I said, but I was like, I don't know. Shit, maybe.
We'll find out.
We're about to figure it out. You know, that was just funny. You asked me that question. I had to think about it for a second. I'm like, I don't know. Can we? Maybe. Yeah. I have no idea. Yeah, I think I just said sure.
I didn't have that many users at the time, but I was just so surprised because I was used to paying like $100 a month for the other, you know, podcast API that I was using. I just couldn't believe you guys were doing this for free.
Listen Notes?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay. Tell me about that. Right, tell me about Listen Notes. Was it any good? Did it have a rich feature set? I mean,
we encourage
all competition or parallel projects.
Yeah, it started out being pretty reasonable. I think when I started with it, it was only like $15 a month or something for the basic plan, and it just ratcheted up after that to a point where it just wasn't feasible for me to pay for. But their features were not bad, but it's basically nothing that Podcast Index doesn't have. So I think the biggest thing they had that was nice at the time was tags. So you can see what type of podcast it is, and you could search based on the tag. And then they would also have kind of the top. They had a couple of APIs for different categories. So if you want to find the top news podcasts and the top comedy podcasts, there was kind of simple APIs that you could just call into that. And that's what my original kind of front page was, a bunch of different calls to them to fetch the latest from those different categories.
That's interesting that you say. I'm realizing we don't have that. Yeah, we could do that.
That would be cool.
I've never even thought of it. Yeah, we need that because we have all the category info in there. We just need to expose it.
How did
I'll work on that.
Do those do they support the namespace?
I don't think so.
I have no idea. Mm. Yeah, I have no idea.
They should.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe if we can just coerce them.
And now it's time for some hot namespace.
Hello, Listen Notes. Join us. It's party.
That'll work. That'll work.
They'll be banging on the door at midnight.
Banging.
I was afraid we're going to get through a podcast. And
No.
Podcasts are cool.
No. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
All right.
No, that's... I love it. I love HyperCatcher. Big fan.
Yeah, me too.
Any,
big fan.
Yeah, anyway, just make ways we can give you more money. That's my only.
I love
that's
podcast my index
request.
Yeah. All right. Wow. You know, we pretty much all should be saying the same thing.
I love you, and I'm so glad we're doing this together.
I love you, and I'm so glad that we're doing this together.
David
I
Norman,
love you guys.
Yeah, David Norman. So I love you. I'm so glad we're doing this together. Dave. Same. I love you. I'm so glad we're doing this together.
Happy Valentine's Day, guys.
Oh, my goodness.
Ditto.
All right, everybody. That's it for Podcasting 2.0. It's getting steamy in here. We'll be back next week with another board meeting of Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!